had.
Your strength that found me at my weakest. Your grace poured out in my despair. When I feel lifeless, tired, burned out and defeated,
This isn't easy for me to admit. I got a fire inside and some words I know I can't keep in. I see faith turning into a show of some. Don't need no saviors.
true that though there was time, I don't need no sailors to be washed in his blood. I don't need no perfect put together pretty words to be enough. No, I want Jesus and his real love, something that I pray deep inside of my bones. So you can leave your religion at home. I want real, real love. I want real, real love. I want real, real love. Oh, yeah.
I am free to dance.
I am free.
too blessed to be stressed.
Taco Bell at the Blue Oasis Motel. Everybody's checking in to stay here the whole weekend. The Johnson family reunion has become an institution. They all wear the same red t-shirts on the front. It said these five words: too blessed to be stressed.
Yeah,
too blessed to be stressed.
All right,
too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be stressed.
Good morning, everybody. Come on in. Let's get ready to worship. I'm reading out of Psalm 95 this morning. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord." Come on, somebody shout. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Welcome to U-Turn World Ministries. If you are visiting with us this morning, we welcome you here. Everybody get up out of your seats. Go encourage somebody with that on your mind this morning.
Praise our God. Will you bind up the brokenhearted and bring down the walls of darkness? You have come to set the captives free. Will you bind up the brokenhearted and bring down the walls of darkness? You have come to set the captives free. Will you bind up the brokenhearted? Down the walls of darkness, you have come to set the captives free, and I'm set free. Oh Lord, I'm set free. Oh Lord, I'm set free. I'm free in you. So I'm set free.
Church, there's not but one way to be set free, and that's by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen? We've talked about it, we've talked about it, we've hit on it, we've hit on it, we've said it, and we've said it. There's so many people think just because somebody proclaims the name of Jesus that means that they're free. I know a whole lot of people that are proclaiming the name of Jesus, but they still allow a whole bunch of enemies to live in their camp. Amen? I know a whole bunch of people that proclaim the name of Jesus, but they've not been using the God-given authority that God has given unto them to use the name and the authority of Jesus Christ in order to be set free. The Bible tells us, what does the Bible tell us very, very clearly? Jesus said it this way. He said that if you are my disciple, if you're what? My disciple. If you are my disciple. He said, if you are my disciple, you will continue. You will abide in my word. If you are his disciple, you got to catch this. If you are his disciple, you will abide in his word. If you are not his disciple, you will not abide in his word. It's that simple. Those that are his disciples will study the word, read the word, grow in the word, and live the word. Those who are not his disciples will not. Why does somebody not read the word? Why does somebody not get into the word? Why does somebody not continue in the word? Because they are not the disciple of Jesus Christ. Many people are disciples of CNN. Many people are disciples of ABC. Many people are disciples of the coronavirus. Many people are disciples of this world. They know what's going on in this world. You become a disciple of the world. You can tell the statistics of the world, but are we in the word? Are we a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are we or are we not? He says in his word, if you are my disciple, you what? You will abide. If you're not, you will not abide. You won't. It's that simple. It's that simple. People that don't follow Jesus, do not read their word, do not pray, do not study. They may go to church, but they do not study, they do not read, they do not follow Christ. It's that simple. Amen? And then he says in John 6, he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So too many of us today, we're looking for the Spirit of God to profit our flesh something. We're looking for the Spirit of God to bring me something that makes me happy in this world. We're looking for the Spirit of God to make my life easy in this world, to make my life enjoyable in this world, to make my life happy in this world. If we're truly in Christ, we ought to be wanting to get out of this world. We're sojourners in this land, amen? We're just passing through. We ought not be looking for stuff to make us comfortable in this world. As a matter of fact, the more of the Word of God we get into, the more uncomfortable we become in this world. Amen? The more we see the things that are going on around us, the more we want to be, we want to look up and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen, he says. I didn't mean to do this, y'all. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that do not believe. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the word of God. But Lord God, most of all, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, the innocent dying for the guilty, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. That, Father God, you would have been perfectly just in turning your back on every one of us. You'd have been perfectly just, Lord, in condemning us and pouring your wrath out upon us and letting us burn in the bowels of hell. But Father God, out of your goodness, out of your mercy, nothing that we deserve, but surely out of your goodness and out of your mercy, it all comes from you. There's nothing good within us. Zero. But Father God, you put on a flesh suit. You stepped down off your throne on high. You walked this earth as a man in the form of Jesus Christ. You allowed yourself to be bitten, stricken, smitten. You allowed yourself to be ridiculed. You allowed yourself to be made fun of. You gave up your reputation. Willingly gave it up in order to come to this earth and subject yourself to death, so that we could have eternal life. There is no greater love than a man give his life. Lord God, let the church wake up to the revelation of the goodness of God. Let the church wake up to the revelation of the cross of Christ. Let the church wake up to what Jesus done at the cross of Christ instead of what he can do for me right now in this world to make me comfortable. Everything that we need has been done and paid for at the cross of Calvary. Every bit of it, Lord God. Every bit of it. Father God, let not comfort be our God no more. Lord God, I welcome right here in the name of Jesus. Your word says where two or three are gathered together that you shall be in the midst of them. We acknowledge and we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit this morning. That you have your way in this house today. That, Lord God, that our hearts be set on you. That you find our praise and you find the word and you find our prayers pleasing unto you. Because we know that you walk in the midst of us. And Lord God, I ask that you would wash not only me, but this congregation in your precious, precious blood, forgiving us of all our sins. Because we know that you're faithful. If we confess our sins, that you're faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a King of Kings we serve. What the Lord of Lords we serve. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. And we give you praise and we give you glory this day in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. If you're here today and you're a visitor, God bless you. Man, welcome to U-Turn World Ministries. Go ahead, Sharon, lead us in praise. I speak Jesus. Kobe, keep on singing. Hold on 1 second. I just feel the presence of God. Ronnie, come on down here. Darren, come on down here. We want to open this altar up right now. Whoever it is, if you need prayer for no matter what it is that's going on in your life. The words say, shout Jesus to the darkness. Shout Jesus. Amen. Jesus to the fear. Amen. We got to understand what that means, church. We got to understand what that's talking about. That there's going to be the enemy. He's going to come in. He's going to try to put fear on you. He's going to try to put doubt on you. He's going to try to put worry on you. He's going to try to put unbelief on you. Amen. And we've got to get aggressive with our fight faith. Amen. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to quit allowing the enemy to force his will upon you. You got to quit allowing doubt to be forced upon you. You got to quit allowing fear to be forced upon you. You got to quit allowing worry to be forced upon you. You got to quit allowing the ways of the world to be forced upon you. Today is the day that you shout Jesus. You be aggressive and you pursue the enemy until he leaves your camp. You pursue the enemy. You don't allow him to stay. You pursue him until he's gone out of your camp. So these prayer, these altars are open. Hallelujah. Ronnie Taylor, come down here and pray for people. Come on. Come down here and pray for people. Clayton, come down here and pray. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, Father God. We give you praise and we give you glory in this house today, Father God. We give you praise, Father God, for no stronghold is more powerful than the name of Jesus. No curse is more powerful than the name of Jesus. No fear is more powerful than the name of Jesus. No situation is more powerful. No sickness, no disease more powerful than the name of Jesus. For Father, we give you praise for who you are. For you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the healer. You are Jehovah Rophika. You are a mighty God. You are an awesome God. All glory, all power, all honor, Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, Father God. We lift you up and we praise you and we magnify you and we glorify you. For you and you alone are worthy. Worthy is the Lord God Almighty. The resurrection, the life, the King, the way, the truth, the living water, Lord. We give you praise. You raised us up out of our sick bed. You delivered us from death. You delivered us from judgment. You delivered us from wrath, Lord God. You and you alone are worthy. Let every other idol fall down. Let every other idol come to its knees. Remove every burden. Remove every barrier. Remove every hindrance in the name of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Ghost, let your spirit fall. Let your spirit reign. Let your name be praised. Let your healing go forth. Let your deliverance move through the people. And Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Sing it again, Jacoby. If you need prayer, get down here to this altar. Quit being a wadded up, full of pride. You need deliverance. You need prayer. Let people pray for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus in the streets, in Jesus. Jesus in the darkness.
Oh, see his name in the darkness.
In Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, in Jesus in for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Thank you.
making new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me your vessel.
God is good to us, church. Many people want the wine, but they don't want to make it. It's just easy to run down to the store and buy it, isn't it? Nobody in here said yes to that one. Amen. Using that as an example, y'all. But nobody wants to go through the process. New wine, talking about the crushing. He's talking about the crushing, that before there's wine, the grapes got to be crushed. They got to be stomped on. The soil's got to be broken. They've got to be planted. The soil's got to be broken. The seed's got to be planted. The seed's got to break. The seed's got to grow. The seed's got to water. All the work that goes into it. And then the grapes come. They got to be harvested. They got to be pulled in. Then they got to be stomped on. Then it's got to be separated, the juice from what's left over of the shell and all of that and all of that stuff. And so many of us today, we want the new wine. We want the changed life. We want things to be different, but we're not willing to go through the crushing. We're not willing to go through the hard times. We want those different things. We want all of those things to happen. We want things to be different in our life, but we're not willing to go through the hard things and make the hard decisions that we got to make in order to bring about the results that we want to see brought about. We just want to stay where we are, and we want God to do something different. We want God, but God's number one goal in our life, amen, is not to just cause us to have a happy life, but his number one goal is to cause your heart to be broken so that you repent and you turn to him, amen, following him. That's his goal. That's his desire, amen. So that's why. That's why we see so many songs like this, and it's all through the Word of God, that Jesus, he come to do what? He come to heal the brokenhearted. Why? Because in Timothy, it says right here, it says that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 12, it says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Amen. He says back over here in verse 14, in chapter 2, verse 14, he says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. We got to be diligent. We got to be diligent to stay focused on Christ. We got to be diligent to watch the ways of the world. We got to be diligent to not allow the world to influence us. We got to be diligent. And how do we do those things? By watching what we allow ourselves to be around and what we allow ourselves to be a part of and what we allow to be a part of our life. He says, be diligent to prepare yourself, to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. We are to live our lifestyle in such a way to where if somebody was to dig into the deepest, darkest closets of our house, to where we have nothing to hide. We're ashamed of nothing. Amen. And if they dig it up and they find it, it's only because the reason they found it is because it's been washed and covered in the blood of Jesus. Amen. We go on and he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. He says, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. He's talking about some Christian folks love to argue about stuff. Hey, I ain't got to argue about something whenever it's in the truth of the word of God. Amen. I ain't got to argue with you about it. Amen. Some folks, they think that they bring glory to God by arguing about stuff. And you know what? We've seen a whole group of people come to this church that didn't want to do nothing but argue. Amen? And we're not going to argue about it. We're not going to argue about certain things. We're going to defend the Word of God. We're going to let the Word of God say what it says. Amen? We're going to defend the gospel, and that's it. But I'm not getting into your foolish arguments and your foolish genealogies and all of that stuff. Amen? Does that make sense of what the Word teaches us? We are to proclaim the gospel. And when you're proclaiming the gospel, you'll find out you really don't have to argue. You just proclaim. Amen? So we go through and we say here, it says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all and teach and be and able to teach and patient. Watch this. I want to go over to chapter three, and I just read this. And yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Remember Thursday night when I was talking, I said the reason much of the church today, listen, the church, we've got it screwed up, church, right? Does this make sense to you? The reason in our nation that this church is not going to see persecution. You know why the people in the Bible, you know why they were persecuted? Do you know why persecution arose against them? Because they decided not to be obedient to the powers that be in what they told them to do. Y'all got that? They said, don't speak that name. No, we speak in that name. So when you go all through the Bible, the prophets of old and all that. So here's what we got to understand in America today, that America, we use the guise, we got to obey the laws of the land. But when those laws of the land ask you to be disobedient to the laws of God and the God-given freedoms that you and I have, then that's our opportunity to stand up. So the reason a majority of the church in America is not facing persecution is because a majority of the church in America is willing to do what the government asks them to do. Y'all get that? The reason the majority of the church in America is not facing the persecution is because a majority of the church in America is willing to do whatever the government asks them to do. See, so what we want to do, yes, sir? The powers that be, and that's where I'm getting to. So not only do we have a deep state in the government, but we got a deep state within the church. Amen. Not only do we got a deep state in the government, not only do we have those things in the government that no matter what it is that you and I want as a people, they're not there to represent our desires. They're not there to represent our works, our wants. They're there to get only their agenda passed. And so many times today within the church, we got people within the church that are not there to get the will and the purpose of God across, but are there to only protect themselves, their positions, their titles, and who they are. It's the same deep state inside the church that's in the same, it's in the government. Does that make sense to you? So the reason that the church many, many times is not suffering the persecution, suffering the things going on, is because we're willing to bow our knees. What do I mean? You know, we can't use words that the Bible uses because we don't want them to be offensive. We don't want them to hurt somebody's feeling. I mean, I know churches nowadays that I was talking to somebody the other day. I think it was me and Sharon talking. I can't remember. Somebody I was talking the other day to where they couldn't even use the word abortion because they were afraid that it may offend somebody in the church that it had an abortion. So they use other words. Today, people don't use the word, you know, adultery. They call it common law spouse. Today, people don't use the word homosexual or sodomite. They call it what? My significant other. So what has happened is that within the church, you see this bowing of the knee to the pressure, amen, to compromise in order to make everybody, to make sin taste better when it rolls across your lips. I don't want to offend anybody. Listen. I've been standing behind a pulpit for 13 years. I'm over not worrying about it. Matter of fact, I've never been worried about offending anybody. But I'm definitely more over it even now. Amen. That's love. Amen. So we as a people, we got it. And this is what Paul charged to Timothy. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word, not your opinions, not your thoughts, not your ideas, the word. Preach the word, not what I think, not what's more palatable, not what the government tells me I can and cannot say. Preach the word. Amen. He says, be ready in season and out of season. That means when it's easy, preach it. When it's not easy, preach it. When the weather's right, preach it. When the weather's not right, preach it. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. In other words, don't give up. Don't draw back. Don't stop. Be long-suffering. Be patient in what? Convincing, rebuking, and exhorting. Be long-suffering. Do it for as long as necessary. Don't stop. Don't draw back. Don't grow weary. Don't grow tired. Don't faint. Don't give in. Don't give up. Amen? Be long-suffering. And he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, according to what? Jesus said it like this, the lust of their own heart. Where does adultery and murder and where does all this stuff come from? From the lust of their own heart. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill. So what is one of the benefits of not being tickling ears? You get to endure affliction. Amen? You get to endure those things. So too many times today, you and I, we have got to be aware. And as I go through, and the more I read the Word of God, I'm starting to see more than I've ever seen it before. How much Paul and how much these disciples and Peter and how much Jesus and how much they talked about false teachers. A lot. A lot. And somehow it seems we go to skip over that stuff today because I truly believe if it was highlighted more today, the false teachings that are going on within the church, then more things would be exposed. Amen. So as we prepare to do our offering this morning, man, praise and worship. Don't we have the best praise and worship team out there, I believe. Amen. I truly do believe it, man. And I know almost everybody up here loves the Lord. What y'all looking around for? Y'all looking around, huh? I know they all love the Lord. Amen? It's a good group. We're blessed. Y'all give your praise and worship team a hand. Amen? We are blessed. Truly, truly blessed, man. We are. As we prepare to give today, you give out of your heart and not out of law. You give out of love. Amen? That's it. That's all I got to say. You give not for what you can get in return. You know, the greatest example of giving was when Jesus Christ gave his life for all, knowing that many would never come. He gave his life for all, the whole world, knowing that many would reject him and never come. But he still gave. Amen. Gave the opportunity. You and I today, when we give money, we don't give for what we can get. We give for those that can come to him. Amen. Those that come to him. That's why we give. That's it. That's all. That is all. Let's be praying that the prisons open back up soon. Very, very soon. Amen. This time with these prisons being down, I mean, it's been good. We've been able to help a lot of people because we spend a lot of money. When you're doing 100 to 200 services a year, you spend a lot of money on prisons, hotel rooms and food and all of that stuff. But this little bit of time here, you know, with everything that's happened the past year, actually, this church's bank account has grown. And I know a lot of it's not because, you know, I know some of it's not because we're going into prisons as much. But, you know, we went into so many prisons that every week that the ministry bank account, it would get a little tight. We was going and going and going and going. And it's kind of good now that we got a little bit of breathing room. Amen? Had a little bit of breathing room. But you know what? We're going to end up giving it all away once it starts back up anyway. Amen. We're waiting on bid. I know we've been talking about this for a while, but we just been, I'm kind of weird. I just watch stuff. We got a guy that did some work on me and Clover's house who's giving us a bid on the end of the building out here. As soon as he gets a chance, we're really going to get that done one day, and we're going to start doing some stuff on this building. But I know people going to sit there and say, hey, we got to take care of what God's given us. But you know what, man? I'm just like, let's go. We can reach more people. We can reach more people. We can reach more people. So I'm so anxious for things. And you may say, well, Kevin, because that's part of the call of this ministry is those prisons and stuff that we were going into. And for those to be shut down, it's. And I know we can't just go into prisons. I know that's not all. I know there's many places we can go and minister the gospel, and I do. So I'm not trying to say, but I'm saying I sure do miss going in there. Amen. I miss that. And I'm ready for that to open back up, and I'm ready to get her done. Amen. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we bless you. Lord God, you move upon the hearts of the people that they give what's in their heart. Not, Father God, out of remove, Lord. I pray that those that have been wounded by false teachings about giving, that when people give, it's been from a place of lust of their own flesh and what they want. I pray, Lord, that people be delivered from that false teaching, that lying deception that spills across the pulpits by charlatans and snake oil salesmen. Pray, Father God, those that have been lied to. About, Father God, those that have been told that God wants everything in this life to be good and this life to be easy. And so when they face the struggles of life, they wonder where God is and they start questioning their very faith that's shook to the core. I pray, Lord, they be delivered from that false teaching. And I pray, Father, that a people that's eyes are just set on you, this heart desires what your heart desires, that you use them in a mighty, mighty way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all know how we do it around here. Just walk down, drop it in the bucket, slap somebody a high five. If you're making a check, you can make it out to UTWM. If you're giving cash, there's an envelope on the seat in front of you. God bless y'all.
I'm not afraid to die. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We worship, magnify you, exalt your holy name, Lord God. We thank you for who you are. Father God, we thank you for the seed, Lord. For Lord God, you provide seed, Lord God, for those who are willing to give, Lord. Lord God, even our words, O God, that we speak, Lord God, life, Lord, and light be in Jesus' name. That in the darkest hour we've ever known in history, Lord, that the light will shine the brightest. That souls will be won, Lord God. The kingdom of God will advance, Lord, like an oasis in a desert, Lord God. Lord God, who can hold back your word? Your word is a fire and a hammer that smashes the rock to pieces, even the stony hearts of men, Lord God. The worse, Lord God, the more you show up and show out, Lord God. And Lord God, we're calling those souls in. From the foundation of the world, people shall be saved. It shall be done, Lord God. We agree with you, Lord God. We're two or more agree. But God, we agree with you that your word shall go forth, O God, and it will not return to you void. And souls will be won, Lord God. And Lord God, the devil's not going to have his way in this hour, Lord. But Lord, the power of God's going to be poured out upon whosoever will in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, I'm a whosoever. And I pray for all whosoever's, Lord, to call on your name, Lord, in expectation and to believe in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Praise God. Kiddos, come on down. Jacoby, you want to pray over these kids today? Amen.
Heavenly Father, we bless you, we praise you, we honor you, we magnify you. We thank you for all these kids that are here, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, and we trust you, and we believe in you, and we give you honor, Lord God, because I know that you're getting your truth to your people, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that these kids are in a church, Lord God, where the truth is ministered, Lord God, when it's not based on what they feel, Lord God, but it's based on your word, Father. God, I pray that they wouldn't be swayed to the left or to the right, Father. I pray that they would know deception from the truth, Father God. I pray that when a lie be spoken, Father God, I pray you would raise up truth within them, Father God, to know that it's a lie, Lord. Open up their eyes, open up their ears, and touch their hearts to receive your word, Father God, and let it bring forth fruit. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing today? God is good to us, isn't he, church? Amen. God is good to us. Open up your Bible to the book of Judges, right after Joshua, right before 1 Samuel, Old Testament. Judges. Isn't that amazing? People say, quit judging. God's got a book called Judges. Amen. Amen. People living in sin don't ever want to hear that word judge. Just like people living in the world breaking the law, you don't ever want to stand before a judge because you know he's about to hand down a verdict that you may not like. Amen. Bible's already handed it down. Amen. Word of God's already handed it down. That's why people don't like the word judge. That's why people don't like to hear those words like that. Why? Because it's offensive to those that don't have a heart for God. Amen. It's offensive to those that don't want to serve God. So instead of saying, I don't want to serve God, I accuse you of being judgmental. Amen? That makes sense? In other words, that old Adam problem in the garden. Wasn't me, Lord. It was this woman thou hast given me. Amen? That's right. Now, I don't know. I'm going to be doing a whole bunch of reading out of Judges 1 and 2 today. I don't know how much preaching I'm actually going to get in. We'll see if we can't squeeze some in. But I'm going to be doing a bunch of reading out of Judges 1 and 2 today. Because Judges 1 and 2 pretty much explains itself. But Father God, I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would give me the ability to speak your word with clarity, that you would give me the ability to speak your word, the mysteries and the oracles of God with power and with authority and all boldness, that, Lord, there would be absolutely no concern of what man may think, but only what you think. And I pray, Father God, that not only would you give me the power to speak your word, but the same power be upon the people, Lord God, in order to receive it. And that same power bring about changed lives in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And that, Lord God, that there would be a tremendous shaking. And that you would give the people the ability only by your spirit, by removing the blinders and opening up the eyes of understanding by the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you would give the ability to the people to rightly divide the word of truth.
by your Spirit, that you would give them an eye, Lord, and an ear that can see and hear and spot those things, Lord, the deception that so many people use in the Word of God in order to bring about self-gain. That, Lord God, it would be exposed in the hearts and in the ears of the people. And that, Father God, that you would remove them from situations they need not be in. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up against the Canaanites and fight against them? And the Lord said to Judah, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. Now, there's a couple things I wrote down here just on the first two verses. Number one, you got to understand that in Judges, Israel had finally entered into the promised land. We know that in the book of Joshua, they had crossed they went across the Jordan River, entered into the promised land, destroying Jericho, and then going on and marching through the enemy's camps, marching through the enemy's territories, and removing the enemies that God told them to remove. And part of removing those enemies was not to negotiate with them and not to compromise with them, but part of removing those enemies was to destroy it, to destroy them, kill them, remove them on whatever God told them to do when they was going from city to city to conquer city after city after city, that they were to follow the explicit directions of the Lord. If the Lord said, wipe all the women, men, and children out, then they were to wipe all the men, women, and children out. But we see many, many times that people would compromise and they wouldn't follow the directions of the Lord completely, and they think they were doing something good, but when actually the only thing ended up happening is it ended up compromising their strength. Disobedience to God never ends in strength, but it always ends in weakness. Okay? So when we look at this, there was a couple things in Judges 1. Israel finally entered into the promised land and taken control of it. However, their work was not finished. Many, many times we think when things go on, we think that many, many times when people get saved, and I believe that many times that we present the gospel in a wrong way when we tell people that as long as you'll come to Jesus, that your life is going to be full of peace and you're going to be happy and everything's going to be okay. And that's a lie. That's a misrepresentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the Bible talks about peace, when the Bible talks about us being at peace, what that means is that you've got to understand, according to the book of Ephesians, that you and I, we were enemies of God. Amen? Our very nature was against God. We hated God's ways, even though we had lied to ourselves and say that we didn't. But the proof that we hated God's ways was in our lack of effort or our lack of ability to follow him. You may not even admit that you hated God, but our very nature was against him. We were children appointed unto wrath. We were born into sin. It opposes God's ways. Amen? That's why we've got to be born again. All right? So what happens is when a person, Jesus came in order to restore that peace between God and man. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, his blood, it was the innocent dying for the guilty. It was the wrath of God that was poured out upon Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary and him taking my wrath and taking your wrath in order so that we could be put back into a right relationship with God the Father. Amen? And but the only thing, that's what Jesus come to do when he talks about peace, when he talks about us having peace, it doesn't mean that we're always going to have peace in this world, because the Bible tells us very, very clearly that what? Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring what? A sword is what the Bible said. And what is a sword for? A sword is for battle. Amen? So we've got to understand it so many times that people, we tell people things like, well, if you'll just come to Jesus, you'll be happy. You'll have a joy that you never known before. That's a lie. Because you know what? When I was living in the world before and I was making tons of money, I had a business, I was partying, I had motorcycles. Well, back in those days, I didn't have motorcycles. I had boats. I had everything. I was happy. Bills were being paid. Everything was going good. I was happy. I was doing cocaine. I was drinking whiskey. I was going to the bars every night. I was having a good time. And pray used to blow preachers' minds when they'd ask me. They'd say, Kevin, wasn't you absolutely miserable in that life? And I said, no. I liked it. I enjoyed it. See, that's what that jacks with people. They're like, well, you must have been a heathen. And I'm like, duh, that's what I was. Amen? Those things didn't become uncomfortable until I became a new creation, until I got a new nature. Then those things, and then I'll be honest with you. I mean, I just go on ahead and be honest with you, but there was a time there to where the draw of going back to that was pretty strong at times. But because there was a new nature in me, there was something now in me to war against that. You see what I'm saying? Amen? All right? And if you said, and many people, you may have been one of those people that had just, I had a supernatural encounter with God. but I went through a little while. But once I got born again and saved, I went through like this honeymoon period, and I thought the work was done when I crossed over into Jordan, only to find out there was a whole bunch more battles I had to go through. Still going through today. That makes sense. So the children of Israel, once they got over into the Jordan, crossed over Jordan and got into the promised land, I mean, they thought that, you know, their work wasn't done. All right, just because you get born again and saved, your work's not done. Just because God supernaturally delivered you from drugs and alcohol, your work's not done. Grow your testimony. Don't let that be it. Does that make sense? So it wasn't so much the military battles and stuff that the children of Israel were struggling with, because they were getting great military battles and they were getting great political victories. They were having great military victories. But the things that they had to struggle with, and what actually brought them down, what actually caused them to fail, is it wasn't their military might, but it was their compromise within the military. It was the compromise that started weakening them. And see, so many times what ends up happening is we come to Christ, amen, and we're on fire for Christ, and we're bold for Christ, and we love Jesus, and we're willing to stand up, and we're willing to shout it from the mountaintops. But over time, somebody teaches us, or somebody starts telling us that we need to be more understanding, we need to compromise, and we start compromising the very values of God, and we wonder why later on that our walk with God has become a lot more cold than it once was. Amen? And this is what happened to the children of Israel. So as we go through this, God told Joshua to destroy the enemies in the promised land. After Joshua's death, Israel starts losing their grip on the land God gave them. And now here's what happens many, many times. Is I've heard preachers say this, and I've heard people say, hey, you know what? Moses had Joshua, but Joshua didn't train up no other leader. But I don't believe that's what was going on here. Amen? I don't believe that it was about Joshua training up another leader. I believe it was about Joshua doing what God told him to do, but I believe it was about the children of Israel recognizing that what Moses had didn't come by Moses himself, but it only came by God. And what Joshua had didn't come by Joshua's only strength, but it only came by God. And I believe it's about teaching the children that you can't put too much focus on one man. Your focus has got to be on God. And no matter what man does, you and I have got to be obedient to the word of God, no matter what somebody else does. If another man doesn't do what he's supposed to do, that's not an excuse for you and I to compromise God's word. Does that make sense? So when we go through this, Joshua 1:2 says, and the Lord said, Judah, what does Judah mean, Sharon? It means praise, amen? Judah means praise, and he spoke to Judah. He spoke, and he said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into your hand. A couple things here. Joshua quickly destroyed the enemies while he was alive. Listen, Joshua, and the few times we look in the book of Joshua, and he didn't do it, like with Achan. Y'all remember that last week? When he didn't do it, once what he did not do was recognized, he would repent from it and then carry out the orders of the Lord. Amen? So you and I, we've got to understand that when we fall, when we mess up, when we screw up, we don't just throw our hands up in the air and say, I'd already screwed up, I'd already fouled up. That's not an excuse for us to keep going down that path. We repent to the Lord thy God. Why? Because we confess our sin. He's faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we get right back to the task at hand that God told us to do. Does that make sense? Amen. He goes on, and Joshua quickly destroyed the enemies while he was alive. He didn't negotiate with them. It was quick obedience to God, and we must do the same with sin in our life. Too many of us today, we want to negotiate with sin. You know, too many, and I go back to stuff like this a lot. Too many of us today, we say we're going to quit. Let me just kind of give you, tell you some things into kind of how it was when I got saved, okay? Too many of us today, we say we're not going to call the dope person no more, but we won't erase his number out of our phone. Too many of us today, we say we're not going to look at the pornography anymore, but we won't get rid of the videos. Too many of us today, so what we do is we keep those things just close enough to us to where if I do fall down, or if I have a spell, I got something to turn back to instead of doing away with plan B. Amen? So what we got to learn to do is we got to learn we can't compromise with the enemy. We can't keep things around, amen. We got to be willing to completely remove the things in our life, completely destroy the things in our life that would cause us to stumble and fall. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Paul said, for whatsoever has nothing to do with the unfaithful works of darkness, the unfaithful fruit. You and I, church, we have got to get to the place of realizing that we cannot set ourselves up for failure by compromising what the Word of God says, by living in the world and trying to be something that God told us to stay away from. That makes sense. We're setting ourselves up. We're setting ourselves up for thoughts to hit the mind. See, listen, here's what I got to do. I don't want to set myself up anymore for having to battle thoughts in the mind that I can keep from getting there. Why do I want to allow through certain activities and certain things to enter into my mind to create thoughts in my mind that I'm going to have to battle against later on? It's just easy, And too many of us today, we tempt the Lord thy God by allowing things into our life that we ain't got no business allowing into our life, and then we're having to battle it later on if we'd have just avoided it from the get-go. That makes sense. All right? So Joshua quickly destroyed the enemies. In Judges, each tribe was responsible for driving. In Joshua, they did it as a team. They came in, okay? But when we get over into the book of Judges, we see the each tribe going into their own territory that had been given to them. And each tribe was responsible for driving the enemy out of the territory that had been given to them. You see what I'm saying? That makes sense, okay? So when we look at this in Judges, each tribe was responsible for driving the enemy out of their individual territory. We must also be willing to fight against the enemies ourselves. Here's what you got to understand. Let me just break it down to you. There's some battles you're just going to have to suck it up and go through yourself. Amen. Too many times today, when we're around people, I want somebody else to come into this battle. And yes, we want to do that. The Bible tells us that we're to confess our sin one to another and to come down to the altar and get prayed for the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the Bible tells us that we're to pray for one another. We're to hold up each other's arms like Moses' arms got held up. We are to intercede for one another, pray for one another. We are to let our requests be made known unto God for one another. But that does not relieve you of your duty when you're not around the other. Amen. Too many of us today, you have still got to, yes, we're going to pray for you. Yes, we're going to hold you up. Yes, we're going to come into agreement. But when you were in that place by yourself, when the people that are praying for you are not around, you are still responsible for running the enemy out of your area and out of your territory. That is not a reason for you to lay down and give up. You are still responsible for holding on to the Word of God. You are still responsible for proclaiming the promises of God. You are still responsible for reaching up to heaven and saying, Lord God, you told me that this was my territory. Now give unto me what you said was mine. I want my freedom. I want my freedom from fear. I want my freedom from doubt. I want my freedom from lust. I want my freedom. And Lord God, if it doesn't come today, that's not an excuse for me to give in, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Don't grow weary. Most people in tribes of Israel began strong in their battles, but over time they became fearful, weary, lack of discipline. Desires for their own interest crept in. The result of growing weary, when somebody takes their eyes off God, their faith began to fade away and started doing what was right in their own eyes, in their own sight. We must keep strong faith. We must read. We must pray. We must practice obedience. Listen, many people read, I believe, and many people ask God to help them, but not many people activate obedience. You got to activate that obedience. What does it mean to activate obedience? What does it mean to practice obedience? Let me say it that way. What does it mean? See, so many times today, we expect God just to come in and just supernaturally remove things. When the Bible tells me I'm to resist, flee from the wicked one. Flee. Get gone. Flee. Flee. Go. Flee. Get away from it. Listen, why does Paul tell us that we're to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness? Why does Paul tell us to stay out of the world? Why? Because Paul said this, he said, I put no confidence in my flesh. In other words, Paul knew that it didn't take very much of the world to tempt his flesh. So rather than fighting against the flesh in order to keep the temptations away that he allowed in, he said, you know what, here's how you handle it. I just ain't going there. Now, there was times that he went there. He said, we're in this world, amen, but we're not to be of this world. Amen. But when we're there, amen, we're to be a light. We're to be there. We're to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. But too many times today, we cannot just completely surround ourselves with the world and expect it not to affect us. This is the whole reason God told the children of Israel, don't go with that tribe. Don't mingle with that tribe. Don't mingle with those people. Don't mess with those people. Why? Because every single time they did it, before long, Israel was on their face worshiping their gods. Compromise. Which shows a lack of faith in what? God. Lack of faith in the Word. And then we look up and we cry, I don't know how this happened. Let me help you. Let me tell you how this happened. Amen? That makes sense. All right, let's go on here. Let's go down. Now I'm going to be reading through a bunch of this. All right? So Judah, verse 3, said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go. See, look, he says, come on up. What's the first thing he says we're going to do? He said, we're going to fight against the Canaanites. We're going to fight against these evil people that are dwelling in the land that God has given to us. We're going to fight. Nope, we're not going to negotiate with them. No, we're not going to go hang out with them. No, we're not going to go change our language and the meaning of our words in order to make them feel more comfortable in what God has given to us. Amen. I'm not going to water down my words in the pulpit in order to make it more palatable to a world that don't want nothing to do with God anyway. Amen. We are not going to do that. We are not going to water down. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to fear what man can do to us. Amen. We're not going to do it. I'm not going to bow my knee to the government mandates that does not override the Word of God. I will not bow my knee to what they call hate speech. We will proclaim the gospel. We will proclaim the Word of God. And if they walk up in here and if they put a chain on those doors and shut it down, we'll stand on the rooftops. We'll proclaim it. We will not be quiet. We will not shut up. We will not stop. We will not. And he says, so we're going to go fight against the Canaanites. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going. Why are we going up there? We're going up there to engage. We're going up there to get into a battle. We're going up there. See, some of us, when we get to church on Sunday, we got to come to church and we say, why am I going to church today? Because I'm going to church today because I got some stuff going on in my life. I'm going to go get me a Simeon. I'm going to go get me somebody that's willing to stand elbow to elbow with me. Why? Because I'm about to engage in a battle. I'm not allowing it in my life anymore. It's time to engage. There's too many of us that have been comfortable with the enemy, and you're allowing the enemy to live in your camp. You're allowing compromise, doubt, worry, fear, unbelief. You become comfortable with it. You become comfortable with compromise. You become comfortable with slipping up. You become comfortable with watching garbage. You become comfortable with those things. We call it slipping up instead of sin. Amen. So Judah said to Simeon, his brother, come up with me to my allotted territory. It's what God gave me. It's allotted to me. And there's somebody in it. They got no, they don't belong here no more. They don't belong here no more. There's some stuff got to get out of town. See, once you become a child of God, there's some stuff in your life that don't belong no more. Death don't belong in your life no more. Amen. It don't belong no more. Separation from God don't belong in your life no more. Amen. Compromise don't belong in your life anymore. Amen. And we go on here and it says, come up with me to my allotted territory that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I will likewise go with you to your allotted territory. In other words, saying, you come help me, I'm going to help you. All right. And Simeon went up with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into the hand, and they killed 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adonai, Bezek, in Bezek, and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adonai, Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Now, look, that's pretty serious punishment, isn't it? That's pretty serious punishment. I mean, you grab a king. I mean, today, I mean, you know, you sit there and you talk about if you put somebody that's crossing a border illegally and you put them in a holding tank, they tell you you're an animal. Or, amen, y'all just get weak on me on that one? We say amen, everything else, but we talk about stuff that's on the news all of a sudden. Y'all shout me down a while ago. Now I heard crickets on that one. I'm going to say it again. People are illegally crossing our border And when they're put into a place, they say that's cruel and unusual punishment or whatever they want to call it. Well, right here, look what the children of Israel did. They grabbed the old king and said, hey, come here, sawed his two thumbs off and his two big toes off. Sawed them off. Amen. Cut him off. You know why they cut him off? So that he couldn't hold the sword anymore, so that he was no longer good for battle. And if you ain't ever seen anybody that's lost one of their toes, especially their big toe, their balance is completely thrown off. Amen. So not only did they throw his balance off, but they made it where he couldn't hold the sword. In other words, where he could be an enemy no more against them. But you know what? That was the Israelites still took it easy on him. You know why? Because the command from God was not to cut off his thumbs and his big toes. The command from God was to kill him. The command from God was to destroy him. So even though he didn't have the ability to hold a sword anymore, he still had the ability to whisper into the ear of the people. See, you and I, we've got to understand something. That too many times we compromise with the enemy, and we get born again, and we get saved, and we compromise. And he may not have the ability to take over my life anymore, but he still got the ability to whisper into my ear. He still got the ability to whisper into my ear. He still got the ability to say things. That's why the Bible says that we're to pick up the shield of faith. Why? Because it quenches the fiery darts, the words, and the lies of the wicked one. So too many times, we just turn it off instead of throwing it out. You see what I'm saying? We don't destroy it. We don't remove it. We can't create a compromise, but where it's still got a voice in my life. May not be able to stand. It may not be able to punch me anymore, but it can go, psst, hey, Scott. Psst, hey, psst, hey, psst, hey, psst. We got to remove the things. Get them out of our life. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful work of what? Darkness. Nothing. Nothing to do with it. So, what did they do? Now, if the king later on died, but it was still disobedience on their part. God told us to destroy him. Move him on. Move him out. Okay, let's look here. So it goes on and it says, and Adonibezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off, used to gather scraps. Now, I guess what he did, went through here and they grabbed about 70 other leaders of the city and did the same thing. Under my table, as I have done, so God has repaid me. Then they brought him to Jerusalem there, and he died. Now the children of Jerusalem fought against Jerusalem, or the children of Judah, I'm sorry, fought against Jerusalem and took it. They struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountains in the south, in the lowland. Then Judah went against the Canaanites who dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of it going through, and they killed Shesai, Ahim, and Talmiah. From there, they went against the inhabitants of Debir, okay? Then Caleb said, whoever attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give my daughter as wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, so he gave him his daughter, Akash, as wife. Now, that name Othniel, when you look that up, that very name means line of God, okay? Line of God, all right? So he says, he goes on, he says, and he says, now it happened when she came to him that she urged him to ask her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey. And Caleb said to her, what do you wish? So she said to him, give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land in the south, give me also the springs of the water. I think probably she had heard Caleb talk about this story whenever Moses said he could have the land. And then after 45 years, Caleb came to Moses and he said, hey, I want my mount. Moses said, go get it, but you're going to have to run the giants off of it. I'm just sitting here thinking this is Caleb's daughter. And she probably heard Caleb talking about that story. So whenever Caleb gave them the land, she come back and said, hey, not only do I want the land, but what good's the land going to do me if I ain't got the water to water it? So I need some water. See, many of us, we come to church. Hallelujah. We come to church. Many of us hear a message. Many of us want to receive something, but we're not willing to ask the water. We're not willing to ask for the water of the word. We're not willing to stay in here in order to water what God plants in our hearts and the seeds that he puts in us. Okay? And he goes on and he says, I told you I was going to read a lot to you. Okay, now the children of Kenite, okay, verse 16, Moses' father-in-law went up from the city of, in other words, Caleb gave his daughter to Othniel, which was actually, I think, his sister or something like that, okay? city of palms, with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the south near Ered. And they went and dwelt among the people, and Judah went with his brother Simeon, and they attacked the Canaanites who inhabited Zephah and utterly destroyed it. So the name of the city was called Hormah, which means that word Hormah means devotion to God. Also, Judah took Gaza with its territory, and its territory, and Ekron with its territory. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. Now, what happened right here? We see inhabitants getting driven out. We see inhabitants getting driven out. We see inhabitants getting driven out. Now, all of a sudden, you see it coming to this place right here, all right? And all of a sudden, here we get to it. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers. They drove out the mountain men, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. Now, this is the importance of remembrance. See, so many times you and I, we find it easy to believe God in certain struggles and in certain battles, but when things get big and when things get bigger than what we think that we have the ability to do, we forget that God is more than able. Amen? So we got to remember something here. Why all of a sudden, when all of the children, when they're going through and they're going through and they're going through, why all of a sudden do these chariots of iron all of a sudden strike fear in their heart? I mean, these are the same people that just seen the walls of Jericho fall down into the ground. I mean, these are the same people that seen God hold the sun still in the sky for 24 hours until Israel won the battle. I mean, these are the people that seen God do mighty, mighty works. They seen the power of God. I mean, these are the people that seen cities destroyed, kings destroyed, cities wiped out, giants destroyed, people that were more than twice their size. They seen this stuff happen, and then all of a sudden they're like, whoop, they got chariots. I know God opened up the ground and swallowed the walls of Jericho, but that's a little bit different than an iron chariot. And what ends up happening is when we take our focus off of God, we forget about the things that God has done. Amen? Because even when we take communion, what did Jesus tell us to do? He said, do this in memory of me. What communion is about what Jesus Christ done at the cross of Calvary for you and I, and we're doing it often so we remember what he done. About his body that was beaten and the blood that was poured out so that you and I could have eternal life. He said, come and eat of this flesh, drink of my blood. Eat of the flesh, the word of God, the blood of Jesus is what? What takes away the sin of the world? Amen. John said it this way. Here comes the Lamb of God. What does he do? He takes away what? The sin of the world for those whom believe. All right. So when we look at this, if we look at that, they say all of a sudden now they're scared of these chariots. Well, why are they scared of these chariots? Because if you go back to Joshua, and we was preaching on it last week or the week before, God destroyed, he took them in the book of Joshua, and he destroyed, and he said, here's what you're going to do. He said, you're going to burn the chariots. God said, not only am I going to give you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, but back in Joshua, he said, you're going to burn the chariots. So what did Joshua do? Joshua just simply did and what God command, went and did what God commanded him to do. See, that was the nature that was upon Joshua and Caleb. You got to remember, it was Joshua and Caleb that when they went in to spy out the land, that when they came back, everybody else had a negative report, but Joshua and Caleb said, no, if we go now, we can possess the land. Amen? So you got to look here, and you got to remember that it was just a few chapters before this when Joshua was still alive. He said, no, no, no. He said, I don't care if they got chariots. He said, this is what's going to happen to those that got these iron chariots. You're going to destroy them. You're going to kill them. You're going to wipe out their army. You're going to wipe out their horses. And then here's what you're going to do. You're not going to keep the chariots for yourself. You're going to burn and destroy the chariots. Why? Because God did not want the children of Israel putting their faith in man-made chariots. He wanted them to have their faith solely in the power of God to deliver them from whatever it was that they needed to be delivered from. He will share his glory with no man. So now all of a sudden we look over here a few chapters later and these people go, bah. Why did they not run these out of the land? Because of the chariots. And just a few chapters before this, we've seen God absolutely destroy the chariots. Absolutely destroy them. So many times in our life when we take our focus off God and when things come against us later on down the road, the things that we would have once stood so hard against are the very things now that we bow our knee to. The very things now that we bow our knee to. And he goes on here and he says, and they gave Hebron to Caleb and Moses and said, Then he expelled from there the three sons of Anak, but the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. Now we're starting to see a pattern here. So now the Jebusites, he didn't drive out the Jebusites. These things were not driven out. Now, why did they not drive them out? Maybe they've grown tired. I hear people say that all the time. Kevin, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I've said it. I'm just tired. I'm just weary. I just feel like giving up. I just want to quit. Maybe whatever it is, maybe they got tired of battling and fighting and standing. Amen. Maybe they grew weary. We don't know what it was. All right? But they were willing to give it up. They were not willing to run out of the land, what God said to run out of the land. And the whole reason that I believe that they grew weary is because they did not get out of the land what God told them to get out of the land. Listen to me. Listen to me. How does that work? Okay? What starts causing us to grow weary? Compromise. Okay? How does compromise cause you and I to start growing weary? The way that compromise causes you and I to start growing weary is the very things that shake our faith. Amen? We compromise and we allow them in, and it starts whispering, it starts talking to us. We start compromising that, and we don't have the ability to get it out because the thing that we compromise is the very thing that's weakening us. So what do? We let it stay there. We let it stay there, and it's the kryptonite. Does that make sense? They grew weary. So why did they grow weary? Because they did not remove them. If they would have been obedient to God and not ever allowed them to stay in the camp, they would have not grown weary. That makes sense. See, you and I, many, many times we grow weary. Why do we grow weary? Because we are allowing things in our life. We're allowing things around our life. We're allowing them to stay there. And the very reason we grow weary is because we're not removing it, and it's there wearing on us, wearing on us, wearing on us, wearing on us, to where we wouldn't have to be concerned with that problem if we would just remove it. Does that make sense? Amen. Or many of you, man, been out there in relationships and dating people and been stuck in relationships that if you had to remove that problem from the start, you wouldn't be where you're at today. If you would have not have compromised in the beginning negotiations, you would have not compromised. If you had allowed the Word of God to be your guide. Well, I believe the Lord told me that's not going to be my husband. Is he a Christian? No. Is he serving God? No. Okay? Then do you think God's a liar? No. But I believe the Lord told me to minister to him. Yeah, he said minister to him. Didn't say marry. Didn't say jump in bed with him. Didn't say shack up with him. Didn't say that you go have sex with him in order to lead him to Jesus. Amen? Nowhere is that the part of the road, the Romans road. Y'all with me? So where did the compromise start? Then you enter into a relationship with this person, and then emotional ties start happening, sexual ties start happening, and then why is your faith growing weary? Because you negotiated. Now you've allowed this thing into your life, and now it has weakened you instead of taking the stand against it from the get-go and saying, the Bible tells me that I'm having nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Dude, a cup of angels. Let me put it to you this way. You ain't got no business dating, marrying, or anything with somebody that ain't washed in the blood, filled up with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's it. Just that simple. So what ends up happening, the compromise is you let that in, and that's why we start growing weary and we start growing tired, and we just end up giving in. Why? Because if you had kicked that joker out from the get-go, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in right now. If you had kicked that lady out from the get-go, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in right now. Amen? That makes sense. I know a lot of us, we just want to live with the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, or Perizzites, whatever they call them. Amen? All right. And he goes on and says, but the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. So in other words, listen, the decisions that they made to allow the Jebusites to stay there not only affected them, but their generations down the line. See, there's way too many people, there's way too many families that their grandkids are living the same lifestyle as their great-granddaddy did because ain't nobody willing to run something out of camp that needs to be run out. I'm going to tell y'all a quick story, okay? And I don't say this to offend anybody, and I don't say this to hurt anybody's feelings. But when I first got saved, the first revelation that I got, one of the first revelations that I got, because me and my wife was split up, and we had good reason on both sides to be split up, okay? But we wasn't saved at all. I got saved. Y'all know the story. But one of the first things that I started standing for was my marriage, all right? Because when I got born again and saved, one of the first revelations I got, according to the Word of God, was my marriage. Everybody was telling my wife to divorce me. So-called Christians were telling my wife to divorce me. Okay? This was the advice that she was getting from the world. It was the advice I was getting also. And a majority of the people, I got born again and saved, instead of so-called church-going Christians telling her, saying, hey, just watch and see what happens to your husband. Maybe God is doing a work. They're telling, oh, the only reason he's doing that because he's just trying something else to get you back. These are so-called Christians. And it amazes me today that when women or men in the church and they get around people and the counsel that comes from people in the church to tell them to leave. God says, fight. And listen, if it wasn't going to be hard at times, there'd be no need to fight. Amen? So I started standing for my marriage. I was one of the, and I started looking at some things on my family side. My parents, between my parents, I don't know, there'd been about, what, Ronnie, 10 marriages? 10, 11 marriages? 8, 10 marriages? Just on my mom and my dad. Amen? And I said a thing, I said, no, my kids are not going to grow up. This is the first revelation I got. My kids are not going to grow up with a throwaway marriage. Thinking just because they had a hard time. And you know what? I stood on the Word of God. Lord God, nobody taught me and my wife on what it meant to be married. I mean, my goodness, we may not even be married because a woman married us. A woman preacher married us. We may have to get it redid. All these years, that just dawned on me. My goodness. But I remember me and my wife going to counsel and sat down, and I mean, I'd get up, she'd be crying, I'd get up and walk out. Counseling. I mean, you won't talk about trying to counsel a basket case. Me and her. We'd go in there, sit down, sure enough, she didn't know what to do. Clover would be crying. And this was, I look back on it nowadays, and this is her counselor. She'd go, you sure you want to marry him? I like, her marry me? Why don't you ask me that question? Because believe it or not, two people could not be doing this if one wasn't just as crazy as the other one. Because if there was a normal one in this, that one would be gone. Right? It is. So, man, she said, and through all this, her advice to us was not get married, but she still did the wedding. I look on that nowadays. You know how many weddings I've not done? Matter of fact, I don't even like doing them. I just tell people no now. Do it? No. Why? Don't want to. I don't like doing them. Yeah, but Kevin, you're our pastor. No, I'm not. You come and you sit in a church, but you don't do what I ask you to do, so why you ask me to do your wedding? I come to you with the Word of God. I give you the counsel of the Word of God. You don't do it, but you call me your pastor. Right? All right, so let's go. So you know what? That became my debt. Lord, I know. Hey, Lord, we didn't know nothing. Lord, we didn't. And she didn't know nothing. Still, I got saved first. I started getting this understanding. God started this doubt. So I just started standing for my marriage, even when she wasn't standing for my marriage. Because I fully leaned upon that I was a new creation, and what I'd done before, I didn't know what I was doing. So I said, Lord, I screwed it up. Lord, you say you're a miracle worker, then get on it. Get after it. Amen. But something had to happen, too. Her heart had to be willing to change also. Amen? Now, if she would have continued rebelling against God and continued running from God, then it would have never worked out. See, listen, God didn't guarantee, God didn't guarantee me he was going to fix my marriage. The question was, even if he didn't, would I still serve him? There was no there's no guarantee in the Word of God that he was going to fix my marriage. See, so many of us today, we come to God and we expect God to fix something that I've broken and I've screwed up. And when he doesn't do it, then I turn my back on him and walk away from him because I expect him to be my servant instead of me to be his servant. Amen? And when he doesn't do what it is that he wants me to do, then the true intention of my heart is exposed and I turn and walk. Does that make sense? So I remember one day I was praying for my marriage and the Lord spoke to me. I mean, he spoke it as plain as day. He said, if she never comes back, will you serve me anyway? I had to make a decision. Evidently, the Lord knew something about me that I didn't know about me. I said, all right, Lord, let's get it. Let's go. And I got delivered from that day. I got delivered from the desire. I got delivered from the phone calls. I got delivered from all of that because now it was about the Lord. Amen. And I still prayed. I still kept doing what I was supposed to do. I kept doing those things. And then one day I had a buddy of mine that got killed in a car wreck. And Clover went to the funeral with me. And that was when she was like, something's different about this guy. Something different. Amen. Make a long story short, we got back together. And then it was truly hell on earth after that. It was horrible. I was like, my goodness, Lord, what in the world have I been praying for the past 9 months? I asked, I said, Lord, restore that. And I was like, aha, I know what happened. I said, Lord, fix the marriage, bring the marriage back together. But I forgot to ask him to fix her first. This is the prayers that I'm saying. And then she come back, and I'm like a teetotaler, dude. I mean, throwing CDs out the house, throwing movies out the house. I mean, stuff just, I mean, open doors, just throwing stuff out. She didn't know. She wasn't saved yet. And she's like, this guy's lost his ever-loving mind. My own dad thought I'd went off the deep end. I think my mother-in-law thought I went off the deep end. They all thought I went off the deep end. I'm like, look, I just got saved. When I was drugging and going to jail and fighting and drinking and screaming and yelling, it's like, okay, he's a good old boy, just looking to have a little bit of fun. I get saved and start throwing porno out the house. I start throwing, hey, like that boy, he's in a cult. He lost his mind. Y'all pray for that. Now they start praying for me. Now they like, Jesus, we know that you touched him, but could you touch him a little bit less? Could you lift up your hand a little bit? Because it's a little heavy on us right now. But I had the understanding that if I was going to change, that I couldn't allow things to stay in my camp that didn't honor God. I couldn't allow things to stay in my life that didn't honor God. Because I had an understanding of something, and God had to put this in me quick. I believe it with all my heart, and I believe that God had to do a supernatural work within me because he knew that within my own ability, I wasn't strong enough to stay away from the things that I needed to stay away from. I just had a revelation, start getting rid of stuff, start chunking it out. White zombie, what? Gotta go. What about Hank Williams Jr.? All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Gotta go. That, and I didn't throw it very far. I threw it like off the porch. I'd go out. I'd throw it a little bit further, you know. I liked me some Hank Jr. I did. And one while I'll be flipping through the stations right now, and old Hank Jr. be on out. Ah, there he is. One song, Lord, just one. One time. Be going on that road to my wife a couple. I know all y'all holier than that. You won't listen to any country music, but you'll watch you some TV that ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. Excuse me. Yeah, you'll watch your show, and you'll call and tell me, say, you got to watch the cussing, but you got to get to the meaning of it. Okay, you weirdo. We don't listen to nothing but gospel music in our house. We don't listen to nothing but praise. That's all we do. That all. Is that all you're watching on TV is preaching? Well, no, that's different. Shut up, you. I ain't saying it's okay to do it, but listen, you got to decide in your walk what is a stumbling block and what is not. Because what may be a stumbling block for Sharon may not be for you. Because the Bible tells us that what? To the pure, that all things are pure. But to the unpure, it ain't. See, there's some things that I've done in my past that's unpure in my heart. And no matter how much you try to convince me that you okay with it, I ain't going to buy it because I'm still reflecting off things that I've done. You see what I'm saying? But Rick may be able, and I'm not saying it's okay, just listen to go out, and I'm not justifying it in no way, shape, or means. But what I'm trying to say is something that may tempt me and cause me to have desires and thoughts that I ought not have, and may not do him the same way. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm not telling y'all go crank up Hank Jr. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not telling you to do that. But what we got to understand is in our walk with God, something that's a tempt, you know, okay, let me just give it to you this way. All right, let me give it to you this way. Some men or women are more likely to be tempted by homosexuality and lesbianism. But you're not. All of a sudden it makes sense, huh? I ain't ever tempted against them. Okay. You see what I'm saying? Oh, so there's some things out there that may draw somebody more than it draws you. You see what I'm saying? Am I making sense on this? Okay. All right. Let me get back. We're putting Bible. All right. Let me get back to this. So those things, if that stuff draws you, and if that stuff, then you know what? You get it out of your house. You get rid of it. All right. You get rid of it. You get it gone. All right. Now let me see here. And he goes on. He's like, but the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites, the inhabitants, so it needs to be gone. And the house of Joseph also went against Bethel. Now let's jump down here. Let's jump down to verse 27. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its village, or Tanakh and its village, or the inhabitants of Dor and its village, or the inhabitants of Abilene and its village, or the inhabitants of Megiddo. And do y'all ever wonder if I'm pronouncing these words right? Because I do. Yeah, I'm just wondering sometimes. When I'm reading through these, instead of my mind really being focused on the Lord, I'm wondering if they're thinking if I'm pronouncing them right. Because I'm even wondering if I'm pronouncing them right. It's villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Now what? The Canaanites were what? Determined. The Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Listen, not everything is just going to willingly and easily leave your life. Amen? The Canaanites were determined to be there. The Canaanites were determined. They wasn't going to leave easy. They wasn't going to just accept, amen? They wasn't going to just accept a eviction notice. They wasn't going to leave easily. They wasn't going to walk out. They were determined to stay there. They were determined to stay in that land. They were determined to be there. So there was going to have to be a battle. See, there's some things in your life that when you come to Jesus, there's some things in my life that when I come to Jesus, some things may leave easy. Some things may leave after a small battle. But have you ever had stuff to go on where it just seems like it's determined to be there? It's been there and it's been there and it's not disappeared. And you've prayed about it for a little while. You might think it's gone. Then all of a sudden it creeps back in and rears its old ugly head again. And if you ever find yourself asking God, saying, God, what is going on here? What is happening here? Just because it's reared his ugly head again is not reason for you to give up the fight. Just because it's determined not to leave is not reason for you to give up the fight. Amen? Just because the struggle may be a little bit tougher, it's not reason for you to give up the battle. Amen? And we go on. And it says, the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong. Now check this out. When Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites under tribute. In other words, they said, hey, since y'all ain't leaving, we're just going to hire you. We're just going to give you a job. We're going to make you be our slaves, and we're going to pay you a little bit to do it. God said, no. He said, run them out. Kill them. Destroy them. Get them out. See, Ronnie, it would have been a lot less likely that the Canaanites would have determined to stay if they would have been dead. It's hard for somebody to stay they're dead. So if they would have just killed them, wouldn't have that problem of their determination. You know how you know how to eliminate their determination? Kill them. See, there's too many times in our life, too many times you and I, amen, that there's certain things that we allow to stay around, and it haunts us, and it haunts us, and it haunts us. Why? Because we've allowed it to stay around. We've given it some kind of tribute. We're allowing it. We're giving it a position. We're giving it a title. We're giving it a job. We're allowing it to stay around, and we wonder why it's so determined. And the reason why it's so determined is because we've not removed it, killed it, got it out of our life. So we wonder why it's there haunting us. Now, I know many people may sit here and say, well, Pastor Devin, yeah, you can remove the object, but the heart's got to be changed. Exactly. But start out by removing the object. You want the heart to change, amen, you got to start removing some things, getting it out. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that getting something out of your life automatically changes your heart, but what I am saying is getting something out of your life shows a willingness to be obedient to the ways of God and to the Word of God, amen? And then that's something, and then God, amen, is going to trust in God to start changing your heart. So if God, listen to me, well, Kevin, what's the point of getting rid of that? It's not going to change my heart. Well, how come you'll believe God to change your heart, but you won't believe God to help you get rid of the things that he says you need to get rid of also? Well, God, well, Kevin, I don't want to get rid of it. I just want God to change my heart. Well, God says get rid of it. Compromise. Does that make sense? All right. Y'all with me so far? Y'all getting anything out of this? Law dog. Oh, Kansas City law dog up there. Me and Scott was talking about it the other day. We laughed about that because I've been called law dog and Mr. Legalist and all that stuff. So Scott sent me a little deal the other day off of Tombstone. I used to love watching. You ever watched the movie before? And then once you're born again and saved, then you watch the movie and you never realized how much cussing was in it? You can't even make it through like the first 5 minutes. You're like, oh, good Lord. And then you can't find a remote control to turn it off. So anyway, he just sent me a little deal on it the other day. It was they started over. So we laugh about that because I've been called law dog so many times. Where's it come out at? Where's it be?
Law dog.
Yeah, Mr. Kansas, law dog. I've had many preachers, many people in the church, we laugh about law don't go around here. Mr. Law Dog Preacher, law don't go around here. Mr. Kansas City, law dog. Third, anytime we get something now, he says it to me. What's up, Mr. Kansas? So he's looking through movies trying to find Mr. Kansas City, law dog. We don't like no law around here. If you know the Bible full of it. All right, what about this law? See, we forget law. Bible Jesus said it like this. He said, all the laws are wrapped up in these two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do unto others, that's a law. Do unto others, you'd have done unto yourself. All right, let me go on here. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, the Canaanite under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. Just listen to this. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, or Gezer, or Gezer. So the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them, nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalal. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute, nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Alab and all of those names there. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out, nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anath. But they dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath were under tribute to them. And the Amorites, now listen what happens here all of a sudden. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains. Now check this out, Ronnie. It's no longer that they are just putting them under tribute, making them work for them instead of running them out like God. But now the very thing that they're supposed to destroy, the very thing that they're supposed to remove, and they tried to compromise with it, and they said, well, instead of killing them, that's a little bit harsh. Instead of cutting off all their hands and toes, all right? That's a little bit harsh. We'll just give them a job. And then finally, you see where the tables start turning, and now those are starting to run the very children of God up into the mountains. Oh, is that not happening in the church today? Is that not happening in the church today? The church is running scared to the heels, fear of what the media is going to say, what people are going to say. But what have they done? They've compromised with the Canaanites. They've compromised with the Amorites. They've compromised with the Jebusites. They've compromised instead of running stuff out of the church. Welcome in the church. And now the very things that are in the church control what the preachers say. Got them running to the hills. I ain't going to talk about abortion because it may offend somebody. I ain't going to talk about adultery and fornication. I may mention it, but I'm not going to expound on it. I'm not going to do it to a point to where it makes those that are living in it uncomfortable. That makes sense? I might mention adultery. I might mention it. But what has happened is because the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, they've been allowed in the church. Instead of being 1 Corinthians chapter 5 church. Okay? They've been allowed in the church. And now it's causing the pastors, the preachers to back off. And now it's the ones that are sitting in the congregation that are controlling what the preacher says, and they're not even opening their mouth. Running for the hills. Why? Because the compromise started. That makes sense? All right. And he goes on and he says, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not allow them to come down to the valleys. They wouldn't even allow them to come down. You better get up here and you better stay. Yeah, you better stay. Yeah. Wait. Do you see how this turn of tables has been happening? Instead of driving them out, they gave them jobs. Instead of driving them out, they made them volunteers in the church. Instead of driving them out, they just welcomed it in the church. And then, you see what I'm saying? I know people out there going to say, Kevin, that's just harsh. That's just, we got to reach them. Yeah, you do got to reach them. You got to reach them. You reach them by ministering the gospel to them, but not by avoiding the things that need to be said. Amen? He goes on and he says, go down to chapter 2. So this went through, and man, it was just a mess for him. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal at Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt, brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Wow. Not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you. Why is the church losing so much power? Listen, can I explain something to you? Some of you may agree with this. What do you deem as power? See, here's where we've got. The church has got so weird that they only deem power as things that they can see with the physical eye. Healings. And yes, we want to see that stuff. Yeah, we want to see that stuff. We want to see healings. We want to see miracles. We want to see that stuff happen. Okay? We want to see that stuff happen. But we want to see mainly that stuff happen. Why? Because it draws more people and because people think it's cool and all that. And I want to see that stuff happen also. Okay? But I look at things a little bit different. I look at a congregation here. I look at a church here. That the power of the Word, and not because of me, because of the Word of God, that the power of the Word of God is so strong that that stuff's not prevalent in this church. Why is it prevalent in so many churches out there? Because there's no power. See, when somebody comes into this church and when they're living in sin, our job is not to beat them up. Our job is to love them. Okay, please don't take that the wrong way. Okay? But the power of the Word is going to either create a brokenness of heart, a conviction, or it's going to cause anger. One of the two, which is biblical. Many of his disciples stayed, but many of them left. He turned around to the 12 and said, do you want to go also? With Paul, when he was preaching, many left. Many said, hey, we'll listen to you later on this. They left. That's what, when you preach the gospel, that's what should happen. Amen. It should cause an emotion. Either you're being drawn by the Holy Spirit to repent, follow the Lord, or you're being rejected because the law just beat you severely about the head and body. That make sense? Amen? So when we talk about the power of the word, when we talk about this, so many times we're looking at that, we're saying, God, we want to see your power. We want to see your power. Why do we not see the power? The same reason the children of Israel did not see the power of God right here. Why? Because there was so much compromise that instead of removing the enemy, he allowed them to stay amongst them. You see that? He says, hey, I told you I'd remove your enemy, but he said you didn't listen to me. So, hey, here you go. He said you didn't listen to me. To where if he'd have been listening, if they'd have been listening, they would have continued walking in victory. They'd have continued overcoming. They would have continued in power. And the enemy would not be running them up into the hills and the valleys and in the, or up into the hills and the mountains now because they did not compromise. And if we would have continued following God's word and would have been obedient to the word of God on how we are to build a church, then people that are not even saved sitting in the congregation, then the church today, when they open a new church, wouldn't be sending out flyers to people that don't even go into church saying, what would you like to see in a church? Instead of looking through the word of God, they're taking it from people. You know, that happens, right? When people open up churches now, they send it out to the community saying, what would you like? Well, I don't want to hear sin talked about so much. Okay, check, mark that off the list. I want to see really, really cool stuff for our kids. I want to see animated pictures painted on the walls and give them something to do where they can have fun, okay? Mark preaching the gospel to the kids off the list. Let's make it fun and get video. We would like to have a daycare in the church so we can drop the kids off on Wednesday night. So that's what me and Clover used to do. We thought church was a babysitter. We drop our kids off on a Wednesday night there. We go hit the bar, come back smelling like a bar, liquored up, and they would put our kids in a vehicle with two drunk people and say, see y'all next time. And I'm like, I look back, I'm like, why didn't nobody ever even mention the name of Jesus to us? If that was me out there and parents were pulling up their kids and I smelled alcohol, I'd be, no, they ain't getting in the car with you. Ain't happening. You either call somebody or I'm calling somebody. Or I'll drive you home, but it ain't going down this way. You know what I'm saying? And Ronnie, that never said nothing to us. Me and my wife, we'd be up there fighting all the way into the parking lot. Pull up, roll the window down, cigarette smoke rolling out. Beer bottle, everything. Don't open the door. Why not? Because the beer cans are going to fall out. Keep the door shut. It's true. Is it not, babe? Nobody.
None of my business. Ain't none of my business. Heaven, he crazy. He's
all right, I'm going to finish up here. Why have you done this? Therefore also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you.
Kevin, where's the good news? We ain't talking about that today. We're talking about this. This is the good news. Amen. This is the good news. God made a covenant with the people. And he said, if you'll drive them out. He said, if you'll obey me. I'm sorry, he said, if you'll obey me, don't bow your knee to their demands. Don't bow your knee to saying, hey, listen, here's what we've decided to do today. Here's what our church does. Here's what our church does, Ronnie. Okay, here's what we do. What we've decided to do is we're not going to talk about what we disagree with in the Word of God, we're going to talk about what we agree on. So if you disagree and you think that adultery is, we ain't going to talk about that, right? So we're just going to talk about the love of Jesus, right? That's it. Okay, that's all we're going to talk about. Yeah, I've heard preachers say that. It's not about what we disagree on. It's about what we agree on. Cut that cancer out there. That's all the arm on. Got to kill it because it's infected the church today. You look at the church today, and it's even affected the church to the point. Listen to me. It's affected the church so deeply that the only thing that is known is a move of God anymore. People falling out, rolling around on the floor, and people running around. But yet, in the midst of the congregation, adulterers, fornicators, homosexuality, all of that stuff feels perfectly acceptable. That's not the power of God. Let me tell you what the power of God is. When the Holy Spirit falls upon the hearts of those people, and they cry out in repentance, tearing down their altars and the false gods that they made, and cry out in forgiveness and repent and grab a hold of the horns of the altar and cry out to a holy God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. So I thank God for this church. I thank God for U-Turn World Ministries, that the Word of God does not go across compromising and fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but the Word of God goes across, and it's powerful enough that it keeps that stuff run out. Let's stand up. I'm done. Y'all get something out of that today? Then you read on a little bit. You get down there, and the judges. They cried out to God, and they repented. Guess what God did? Showed up. Amen. Showed up. Got them out of the mess that they was in. Amen. I know, man, I put myself in some messes. And I know more than one time I've cried out to God because of my foolish decisions, because of compromising my own life at times. Amen. Because of compromising my own life, I've allowed things in my own life that have caused me heartache or caused me trouble. Amen. I've allowed things, you know, through my walk with God, that I've questioned things before, and I've had things that be heavy on my heart, and I'm like, well, God, is that you? And just made wrong decisions. But my heart is to serve Him. My desire is to serve Him. And because my heart and my desire is to serve Him, that I always come running back when I come running back to Him saying, God, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I didn't mean for that to work out that way. You know what I'm saying? I didn't mean for that to happen that way. Amen. But my heart and my desire is for Him. And if we don't think that we don't make mistakes and don't miss it, then we're not very in tune to God's Word. Amen. We go through there, and I'm sitting there thinking the only time that Paul, really, somebody asked me the other day, they said, Kevin, you know, I don't see Paul screwing up one time in all the epistles. I said, well, he wrote Romans chapter 7. He said, things that he didn't want to do, that's what he done, and things that he, that's not an excuse for us. It's not an excuse for us. Amen. But church, I thank God for a church. I thank God for people like y'all that are listening to messages like this on a regular basis. And man, you may be beat up, you may be bruised, amen. You may walk out here whoop knots on your head, but praise God, amen. I love you. I do love you. God has really, really given me a heart for the church, a desire for the church. When I come up here and I talk about these things, it's not out of anger that I have for the church. It breaks my heart for the church. It breaks my heart for the sheep. It does. It breaks my heart for the sheep, for the people that are falling prey to this stuff. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. If anybody in here needs prayer, give me a couple guys. Come on down here and pray for some folks. Some of you guys that were down here earlier, come on down, Brent. Darren and Ronnie, they're like, he went a long way today. I'm hungry. I get stuck at that altar today. We're going to be there a minute. I'm praying. Darren came running. Amen. Y'all notice after church, that's why I always call these folks down there to pray. Go give me some food. I'm playing with y'all. Thank y'all, guys. If anybody in here, bow your head, close your eyes. Anybody in here, if you're not following God, have you allowed this compromise into your life? Whatever it may be. Have you allowed this compromise into your life? Maybe it's through TV. Maybe it's through, I don't know, music, radio, video games, whatever it is. Have you allowed this into your life? There's some things in your life that, you know, the Lord's been dealing with you about getting out, and you just hadn't done it yet. You're thinking it's just going to disappear and it's just going to go away. That's you. I want you to come down here today. Let these men pray for you. And that may not be, and when I say that, I'm not talking about physical things. Maybe it's an issue of the heart. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's an area in your life where you're struggling and you just don't know how to get through. Number two, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, what an opportunity you have today. It's His will that none should perish, but all come to repentance. God is so good. that he don't judge you based on your past. When you cry out to him, he judges you based on what Christ has done for you. And you may think you're unqualified. You may think that you don't deserve to follow God, that you've messed up and you screwed up too many times, and you are exactly right. You are so unqualified, just like me. But thank God that my relationship, my coming to God, is not based upon my resume, but it's based upon the resume of Jesus Christ and what he done. And he's more willing to forgive us than we are to ask. Amen. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you want to know Jesus, let these men come down here and minister the gospel to you. We love y'all. God bless y'all. Lord bless this group and everybody watching by internet. They're the head, not the tail. That your face shine upon them all the days of their life. That they be above, never beneath. That, Lord God, that you be pleased with them. That you fill them with the Holy Spirit. That every need be met. That their seed be blessed. That their bowl be full. Their joy runneth over. And we give you praise and give you glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all, church.